So let me just quickly give a special recommendation today before we start teaching. It's titled, How to Receive from God. As you know, our tracts are free. So please read it and share with somebody. Be an evangelist, amen?
Amen.
Evangelist of truth. It's just to let Christians understand there is a premise upon which God answers prayers. You must understand that. There is a premise. We have to keep explaining these things until people are clear on it. My wife told me something that she saw the other day. A woman had a deliverance, a mighty deliverance in her home. All right? She read the information. You know, mighty deliverance. Assuming now the roof was about to collapse. In that collapse, when nobody was there and nobody was injured. Something like that. That was not exactly what happened, okay? But something similar to that. Now, what happened was the woman had said, thank God, though. Last week, my husband just sowed a special seed into a ministry, and look at the results today. Did you hear what I said? You experience special deliverance today. You know, you must understand something. If you believe a wrong thing, you are robbed of your reward. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. If you believe what is not true, you are robbed of your reward. I gave an illustration the other day about imagine that somebody says to you, if you do good to somebody else, they can use that thing to harm you. They can use it. You know what I mean is that you have an old shirt. You're not using it. It's not a bad shirt. It's a good shirt. You give it to somebody who doesn't have a shirt. And I say, don't do it. Oh, they will carry it to the coven and use your shirt to do juju, you know, voodoo. They use it to do black magic against you. Now, if you believe that is doable against you, it denies you of being blessed in life. Because for that reason, your old clothes will be inside your wardrobe. Are you getting my point? Nobody can wear it. Nobody can wear it and say, God bless you. Many God bless yous are therefore missing in your life. How did you get denied of your reward? Because you believed a wrong doctrine. Now, what I'm saying is very important. Now, why did I say that? Somebody who experiences deliverance and says it's because of what I did last week has denied the opportunity to be delivered next week. I don't know whether you hear what I said. You must get things in their proper perspective. Listen, you know, because if God calls to account and says, okay, what did you do that I kept you alive today? He said, last week I gave a dangerous offering. So this week I was saved dangerously. Do you realize that every heartbeat is dangerous? If your heart forgets to beat for like 5 seconds, you drop instantly. That thing has been beating. When you were a child, it was beating at over 100 beats a minute for the first 1 year. As it began to grow, it dropped to like 70 beats a minute. A minute. How many minutes are in 1 day? Okay. That's too much calculation for you. Let's start. How many hours are in 1 day? How many minutes are in 1 hour? 60 minutes. So 60 minutes times 24, that's what you have in 1 day. At, let's just say, 80 beats a minute. 80 beats times 24 times 60 is the number of times your heart beats in 1 day, assuming you were never in a hurry. Because those times that you ran, pa, 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 it increased in pace. Now, this is the interesting part. If just 5 of those beats are missing consecutively, you drop. As you are talking, you say, the Lord is good. Boom. They just hear you on the floor. That's why people who are aware, the first thing they do, once somebody collapses, they rush for the heart. Quickly check whether it's beating. It's not beating. They start forcing it to move. If God has to make you pay for each one, that your stupid seed cannot pay. What did I say? It can't pay. You don't want to say stupid seed. It's stupid. It cannot pay. That's what I'm recommending for you again. Please, I'm not selling it, all right? It's free of charge. Pick it as you are going out. In case you haven't read it, read it. If you have read it, read it again. If you have read it, pick it and give to somebody. How to receive from God so that people will know exactly why God is blessing them. God didn't save your life because you sowed a seed. Don't be stupid. When you believe such things, that's the problem. Tomorrow God can't deliver you again because the angels will say, the demons will say, what has he given? Nothing. They will refuse. Let's get these things clear. I don't know how I just got ignited. Maybe the Lord wanted somebody to hear this. You've been laboring all your life because you want God to bless you. God says, continue. I won't answer you. Because if I do, you will think it's because of what you did. answer you. You sow seed, you sow, sow root, sow stem. Be so, you sow branches at this rate. That's why I wrote in this little tract, how to receive from God. How do you receive from God? Understand God's love. Pray in the correct name. Understand the promises that God made before you were born. And what is he doing? He's fulfilling his promises in your life. If you don't understand that, that's why receiving from God will be difficult for you. Please, I've told you before, in case you haven't heard it, hear it now. If you are believing God for something, don't sow into my life. Go and look for another pastor. Don't get me involved in your witchcraft. Yes, I'll say it clearly. Say, Pastor Maggie, they won't give you something. The Lord is good. Listen, forget. Listen, we must always tell the truth. It's not whether I'm poor or rich. That's not the issue. We must always tell the truth. I will never, because of what I'm going to gain personally, refuse to tell you the truth. Because one day I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, what I'm trying to say, look, I said what I said because it's true. If you want to sow a seed for something that God may bless you, don't give it to me. Go somewhere else. You want to give me something? There are just two reasons. And I keep on saying it. There are only two reasons why you give to a preacher. What are the two reasons? Number one, because he has blessed you. You can't be broke. I preach the word of God to you. The word blesses you. You become rich and you will forget me. Hey, let me not say more than that. That's why you start coughing when you are eating. Because you are eating my portion. It's true now. I told you a joke I saw once. A man was eating chicken. He was eating meat, whether a chicken or something. And his dog was there. The man chopped the meat. The dog did not talk. The moment the dog heard the first piece of bone crack, he rushed the man. The dog just jumped, snatched the bone from the man, began to run. It was a cartoon. So the man said, "Bingo, bingo, bring that bone back." The bingo said, "For what? I will stay here. You will use Obuju to eat my portion." Bingo said, "Like, the bone is my portion. You ate the meat, I did not talk." Said, "That one is my portion." So that I'm just emphasizing again. These are the two reasons we give to preachers. Number one, because he has been a blessing to you. And giving is a proper way, all right, to honor the Lord in that area. That's one. Then number two, because you recognize that this is the job he does, and this job does not in quote pay. You know, he can't charge. The other day, one man was preaching in town. That's Fela Duroto. He said he gets paid how many millions per day? 3.2 million for 1 hour of talk. Oh, 30 minutes. One man in Nigeria, you know, his appearance fee to speak in a particular place is 2.5 million naira. And this is not bribery. He's not preaching. Alibaba. You invite Alibaba to come and be MC for your program. 5 million naira. Bill Clinton, $100,000. Oh, it's now up to $1 million. That is, you organize a program, you want Bill Clinton to be the speaker, to show up, speak. These people get paid a lot of money. Bill Clinton does not talk as much as I do. Is it a lie? Now, that is the job of a preacher. I talk, not only do I talk here, 2 times a week. When I get home, my wife will be telling me, though. The nicest day of my life from my wife is Saturday evening. That is, the day my wife is nicest to me. Why is Saturday evening? Because that is when I sweat here most, at night. Man of God, Lida, let me rub your back. You know, good things are good. You know, just pour every good thing on me. Because that's how much I sweat. How much do I get paid for it? I'll be honest with you. Nothing. So sometimes you look and say, "Abba, let us pay." Do you understand my point? Those are the two reasons.
I am not allowed to charge a dime. Some preachers charge. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It is wrong. You can't charge. This job does not allow you to charge. We are not allowed. We are not allowed to look out and say, Bill Clinton gets paid $1 million. We are not allowed to charge. This man, Peter Daniels, who got paid for, is it 10 or 30 minutes talk, $1 million, does not charge if he's going to a church. He's not even a preacher. He's a business developer. He's a business counselor. He's a, what other name? Allah, can give me another name for people like that. He's a business consultant. So he consults for companies and charges in hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. But once he steps into the four walls of a church, he does not put a charge. That's the proper thing. Those of us who handle the word of God, we are not allowed to charge. Things have really turned upside down. Preachers have been really... People like me, I laugh. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. You go for a program, they bring musician. That one will charge. Sing for 30 minutes. Everybody's happy. He collect half $1 million, $300,000. They charge. But the preacher, he can sweat for 4 days. He's not allowed to charge. How much they give him is irrelevant. But he is not allowed to charge. Believe me, he still has to do his work. So sometimes a man looks at it. I told you once I was in a church service. There's one brother was sitting beside me. He's a doctor, medical doctor. So I said, oh, how is practice? He said, no, he's not been practicing. Why have you not been practicing? He does this ministry work full time now. I said, oh, so this is the only work you do currently. He goes around preaching here and there. He said yes. Instantly, I went. I don't know whether I had my check that book that day. I just went, collected it, wrote him a check for $20,000 and gave it to him. Please buy something for yourself and your children. Why? I said, oh boy must eat. Those are the two reasons you give to a preacher. That is why I said, don't sow a seed into my life. All those witchcrafting. Keep it away from me. I'm not interested. I'm believing God for a husband. Come and give me money. That husband has just been delayed by 6 months. So just don't bring it near me. Are you getting my point? Go and give it to somebody else. Don't give it to my wife. Oh. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. I've said this and people have gotten angry. One man got angry when he heard it. Because you don't like it. It's pinching you. I'm denying. Look, I'm delivering you from troubles. You've been sowing seeds for 6 years. You haven't got anywhere. Sowing for 16 years, you won't get anywhere. What God wants to do for you, Jesus paid for it. You know, God? Jesus paid for it. Are you getting my point? Anything you want in life, Jesus has paid for it. Download it from heaven by faith. My father cannot be a billionaire. Deposit 1 billion naira into an account for me, and the bank manager will say I should put in something before I can withdraw. Won't I report him to EFCC? My father said, okay, bank it. Go to GT Bank. This is your 18, this is everything. I put 1 billion naira in there for you. You don't have to work for the next how many years until you finish it. I know you're a responsible boy. And I go there and say, good morning. I sign the check. So the manager says, did you put anything inside this account? You know what I ask him? Is it your father's account? It's not a valid question. So it's a manager. It is not who put it. Is there credit? Give me the balance. Is that not true? Give me the balance. How much is there? He said, no, we want to know whether you put anything inside. Listen, my friend. Give me the balance. This is my photo. It's my account. Is that not my photo? Is this not my signature? Is the PIN not with me? He said, we are sorry, you cannot withdraw from this account until you put inside. Who deposited the money is not his business. Whether I put it or not is irrelevant. My father put it inside. My father said it's my own. He has no right to tell me not to take from it until I put into it. Jesus paid for me. There is nothing I can do to to make God owe me anything more than what Jesus has done to make God owe me everything. God, listen, his riches are packaged in promises. I hope you hear it. His riches are packaged in what? In promises. And what Jesus did was to die to make the promises creditable to your account. That's it. That is the premise upon which you receive from God. You want to be delivered? Believe the word of God. You need anything in life? Believe the word of God. You need breakthrough? Believe the word of God. Like I keep on saying, why do we do good works? You know, I say this thing because the people hear the opposite so much. You have to keep telling the truth so that the truth is printed in their hearts. Why do we do good works? Because we are Christians. Are you getting my point? Why do I breathe? Because I'm alive. As a Christian, if I am not doing good works, I'm not behaving like my Father who is in heaven. If I see the hungry, I should feed him. If I see the naked, I must clothe him. If the gospel of God needs to be preached, I must contribute my quota. It is wrong for Christians to gather around unbelievers to beg for money to do the work of church or work of ministry or work of propagation of the gospel. It's totally out of order. A particular church in Benin many years ago, they flunked it. They went to one big man in Benin. Those of you who are from Benin, okay, like, you know, in Enugu now, we have peace mass transit, we have all those mass transits, yes, one of them in Benin like that. So then when the people enter there, they are doing fundraising in their church. The man brought out the idols from the drawer and said, these are my gods. Why should I take their money and give to your own God? I said, good. Father, I thank you for using this unbeliever to teach Christians common sense. The man wanted an explanation. The money is not the problem, but I just don't understand why I take from my gods and give to your God who can't prosper you. These ones have prospered me. They were humbled. They got up and left. When I heard that story, many years ago, I was happy. If we preached it to you, you wouldn't believe. You'd be quoting scripture, the wealth of the wicked. The righteous has to go to the wicked to beg for it, as if that's what the Bible was talking about. So if the unbeliever will not give to the preaching of the gospel, who will? It is you and me. And because we are responsible children of God, we do the things that responsible children do. We are not doing them because we want to get anything. We are doing them because that is what responsible children do. Many years ago, shortly after I came to Enugu, I started working and God prospered us a bit. We could afford some things. I told my wife, let's buy my father a car. So that day I was driving with my younger brother, Deji. I said, many of my relations will now think that, Banky has made it too. He bought a whole car and gave to his father. I said, there are two ways. One of the ways you can relate with that. I said, let me know, you know, the way, you know, I told you, wrong doctrine will deny you of your reward. There's a foolish way to respond. Let me not buy it. If I buy it now, they will say I have money. I asked my brother, I said, look at everything. My father is not working now that kind of work that he will buy himself a car from what he's earning. You know the whole family. If I don't buy him a car, who will? That was the question. I said, I don't care what anybody says. It took me one whole year's income working in the teaching hospital as a consultant to pay for it. It wasn't like it was cheap. Why? A son honors his father. There's no other reason. Did I go to God and kneel and say, God, you know, I took care of my father. He will take care of me. He will slam me. Get up out of here, my friend. Do you understand my point? It has nothing to do with what we are going to get. I remember that day. I still remember where I was driving. My brother was with me, my younger brother. I said, if I don't, who will? The person I was talking to was in university, so he definitely was not a candidate. If I came to obtain some from me, sir. I said, if I don't, who will? That's the point I'm making. Listen, that is what children of God are. I always tell you, if a man comes and says, sow this seed, you'll get this tomorrow, don't answer him. I don't care how anointed he is. Or the stories he comes with. They always come with stories. I don't care. However, listen to this. If he demonstrates a valid need without promising you anything in return, please respond. I told you the other day, some of our brothers said, let us buy 5,000. Let me withdraw the word buy. Let us print, because we allow them to do it. Let's print 5,000 copies of Choices, Key to Destiny by Pastor Banky, and give it out to SSS, that is senior secondary school children, in many secondary schools beginning from Edo State. They sent the word out. Within a few days, 5,200 had been paid for. I can show you the charts. There were no promises. The first brother I wrote after a while, I said, let me encourage my brethren. I said, brethren, this is how things are supposed to be done. By the following week, they had 5,200 paid for. Who promised anything? Not nobody. Next thing I was saying that, I would like, can I get about 200 copies for the youth in my church? Can I get these people? Just okay. I'll send money for these people. Kept on putting money in until they crossed the 5,000 mark. What are they getting personally? Who promised them anything? Nothing. One brother told me that there's one minister near where he is. He said his wife and he said this man teaches the truth. He preaches the truth. He doesn't lie. They now go to his church. This is the only job he does. He said his wife and he and his wife talked one day and said, we may not have everything, no, but one thing we will guarantee as long as we are here, this man is here, is that his family will never sleep hungry. That is, any other thing he wants to do, we don't care. You understand my point? But that a day will pass, he, his wife, and his children don't have food to eat complete. He said it will never happen as long as we are here. So periodically, they will carry a bag of rice, go and drop. You know, things like they just keep on dropping things. He said, as long as this man is preaching, one thing I will ensure is that he's never hungry. Are you seeing the way Christians reason? This one of I give, I get is unbelievers that behave like that. It's not people of faith. It's selfish people. Why am I preaching this one today? I don't know. But please, let me just ask us again, please, everybody. Take a copy of the tract and read it. Like I said, it's free. Just, you know, the way our tracts are. All right? Just sit down at home before, while your food is getting ready, you are done with it. Don't throw away that paper. Give it to somebody else. All right? Just share it around. Don't leave here with anything less than two. As I was about to climb up and I just saw the tracks, I said, wow, I didn't even know we had this particular title. I remember when it came out now, but I had forgotten totally about it. Please, don't put your confidence in a wrong thing. That's what I'm trying to explain. Don't put your confidence in your works. There are those who say they are sowing seeds now because of their children. You're talking nonsense. I'm about to start a business. Let me quickly go and sow a seed. You are behaving anyhow. Now, just married. Now, let me quickly sow a seed for joy and happiness in marriage. The seed is the word of God. Once you are not constantly sowing the word into your life, you are not sowing any seed. You are deceiving yourself. Please tell your neighbor, the seed is the word of God. Tell your other neighbor, the seed is nothing but the word of God. Everything you'll ever need in life has been packaged into that word. I like one thing one man said many years ago, Reverend Akin Akinola. He said, every scripture is a molecule of power. I heard that in 1992. He said, every scripture, like that man, we saw his voice when we went to Ondo. He said, every scripture is a molecule of power. And what was he referring to? He said, when you split an atom, you release the power inside it. Albert Einstein calls it E is equal to MC squared. Yes, I'm happy you know that. He said, every scripture is a molecule of power, that if you crack that scripture open, power is released into your life. Listen, let me tell you something. fill your... No, the seed is the word of God. Fill your life with the word of God. It is the word that enters into you, that is cracked open, that releases power for breakthrough. That is what releases power for success. That's what releases power for everything you may need in your life. It's not your money. The premise upon which you receive from God is that Jesus has already paid. God knows. I learned this thing long ago. People say they are sowing seeds. In fact, you know, God is good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The first time somebody tried to teach me this thing, I was in university there. God said, if I see you try that, he said, there's a miracle in it. I got up and went and gave so as to get. God made sure I ended broke. Was that what I taught you? Or you learned to pray in the name of Jesus? I've explained something to you before. He said, but sometimes people have testimonies. Listen, I don't base my doctrine upon the testimony of anybody. You base your doctrine upon what? The word of God. Just take that as a rule for your life. However, having said that, I can actually explain a lot of things. Life has different spheres. I keep on saying there are different planes in life. Even those who do Eastern religion, they will tell you there are different planes. And it's not a lie. They know something many Christians don't know. What they just don't know is how to get to the highest plane. The highest plane is the throne of God. The highest plane is what we in the scriptures, what we call the third heaven. The highest plane, there's another word for it. The highest plane is called what? The realm of Christ. So somebody goes to the second plane. I told you before, some of the dreams you have, you are fighting in the first heavens. Your enemy appears to you in your dream, your neighbor. And you and him are wrestling. Say, no, hey, say, praise God with me. I always knew that woman was a witch. He said, hey, Sister Jane, tell me what happened. He said, I slept. Did I not sleep? He sleep, I slept. And the woman appeared in the dream and began to bite me. Then I fought her. Do you know when I woke up in the morning, there were bite marks on my arm? You may have experienced it before. It may have happened. Is the woman really a witch? Let me tell you the truth, there are two possibilities. One, she's not a... No, there are three possibilities. What did I say?
Three.
Three possibilities. Number one, the woman is not a witch. You are not a witch. You didn't fight the realm of the spirit. You didn't fight in your dreams. What happened was simply was that a mosquito or a rat was biting you. Physically. No, if you know the dynamics of dreams, that's how it happens. Hasn't that happened to you before? You'll be dreaming that something happened. Then suddenly you see the thing really, at least you know that you played up to it. I don't know what I can say. That is, maybe you dreamt that you were juggling with plates. Then suddenly one of them fell down and broke. Cham! As soon as you hear the plate, your son just broke one. Actually, what happened? He said? Oh, exactly. Somebody say, oh, wee wee. You'll be dreaming that you were running. You suddenly went to wee wee. You now went beside the road. You better get up. You had better get up. My experience, really, I analyzed this over the last few years. I realized actually what happened that the mind, all right, as if it plays a drama around something that it's feeling. And that's why it happens like that. That's number one possibility. The second possibility is that maybe you actually have an animosity, anger against that person. And that person's spirit actually is a person is also angry with you. For that reason, the fight, now listen to, please be careful as you are listening to what I'm about to say. The tug of war, which the spirit of both of you, all right, the negative energy you are emitting towards each other, plays out in your soul. That's what I call fighting in the first heavens. You literally are fighting. But the woman is not a witch. You are as much a witch as she is. I don't know what I get my point. It is not as if she attacks you in your dream. No. The fact is that both of you are at loggerheads with one another and your spirits are wrestling. Human spirits do it. I just remember the illustration I heard first time I got understanding of this kind of thing. Ed Cole was the one that explained this. I told the story, I use it to illustrate one time I get to points like this. The human soul works funny. It's interesting. Not funny, really. It works actively, but those of us who are so mindful of the flesh, we don't get it. That is why, as an example, you can just think of a friend of yours, say, I'm Bruce, long time. 10 seconds after you say it, your phone rings. You don't recognize the number. Hello, who is this? I'm Bruce. Say, Ambrose, do you know I was just thinking about you just now? What happened, really? This is really what happened. Ambrose picked his phone to call you. As he was using the GSM network to dial you, his spirit had already reached out to you. So that thought was what you perceived. Because in the realm of the spirit, there's really no distance. So that's why he started thinking of Ambrose all of a sudden. So as soon as the call came through, he said, wow, do you know I was just thinking of you? The fact is that that was the reason why you thought of him. Because he said, let me call Uche. So he picks the call phone, and while trying to get out your number and dial, you felt it. You felt him. Let me put it like that. You felt him. The story I was telling, the one I heard from Ed Cole. Ed Cole said, one good Christian man walking in an office called him one day and said, sir, I don't know what's going on with me. He said, what's happening? He said, I've been having thoughts of adultery in my head. He said, this is just not like him. Ed Cole said, look around your office. He looked. Finally, he said, there's only one woman that is here. I mean, like his secretary or something. He said, let me make a long story short. He just said to him simply that you are perceiving her thoughts. Because the man was like, what? This is not my character. That's why I called the preacher, who's his friend. The man said, oh, it's her thoughts. The man said, okay. Then suddenly he noticed the changes that happened in that woman's, you know, appearance and all of that over the last few weeks. He said, that is what is going on. He said, what do I do? He said, I have only one of the few choices you have is you sack the woman. This is America. This is not civil service. No, not a private company. Send her somewhere else. Relieve your head of the tension. That's my own interpretation. Now, relieve your head. The man was not planning to commit any adultery. Just say, relieve your head of tension. The man said even he was tired of the job, so he resigned and left. Ed Cole said, the world knows about it, they call it chemistry. So if somebody is literally angry with you and wishing you bad, it is possible. You perceive that, and that perception, you cast it into a dream and create a dream around it without realizing it. That person is not a witch. You are as much a witch as that other fellow is. Two of you are angry with each other. The only place you can fight is in your dreams. Are you getting my point? Explanation number 2. The third explanation, familiar spirits. Familiar spirits like to come and separate friends and family members. You now get up just to, because they know you watch home video and you believe that everybody in the village is a witch. So which one do we use to destroy his life? Tell him his mother is a witch. That is the one that works all the time. Because your mother is one of the few people, you're a wicked soul. The only person praying for you is your mother. In the market, you are owing everybody. In your yard, where you park, nobody can drive out once you come. They don't like you. The children lick your tire for breakfast. They know how, they say, where is this inside? You go and put a name. When you reverse, boom. Why? You're a bad man. There are some women there, their mouth is so sharp, they quarrel with anywhere where they walk, they know, everybody quarrel. And they go at home and tell their husband, you know me, I don't take nonsense. Your husband is not praying for you. Your office members are not praying for you. The only person praying for you is your mother. The evil spirit that wanted to injure you since, say, what do I do to stop this flow of prayer? Appear to him, appear to the joker in the dream, and say to him, your mother is a witch. So you borrow the cloth of your mother, and then you are walking on the road, the woman will give you stud, you know? You fall. And then she will laugh, kick, 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 the way they do in home video, you know? After that one, you now dream that she was cooking and brought a piece of meat and gave it to you to eat. I said, that was the meat of your children she killed, the one not yet born. Why? You watched it in a film. Then you now wake up next morning. You are unfortunate enough, you have friends who don't go to good churches. They're as confused as you are. Say, Pastor Banky, what's your matter with my own today? The Lord sent me to deliver you. They now drag you to a hungry prophet who likes the size of your car. Once you park, he said, good, Mugu has arrived. He will drop. And he conjures us on spirits. The evil spirit was there waiting for you. And he says, ah! Uchena, what's your own name? You that I'm talking to, give me your name. Okay, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Okay, let's look for a name, Micah. He said, Micah, your mother is a witch. He said, yes, sir. I've been dreaming the last 2 days, she's been coming to my dream. So what am I going to do? Anything you give her, she takes to the coven. After that, you stop sending her stuff. You know what happens? The only person that was praying for you is now accusing you before God. In case you did not know, you are dead meat. After that one, they said the witches killed him. No. His disobedience to God killed him. The only person that was preventing his death by praying for him regularly was his mother. These witches have now come, they've separated him from his mother. That is the familiar spirit. I hope you are getting my point. That's why people don't realize. You know, I went into that, trying to explain that life has different realms. That, you know, I just got stuck on that. I'm sure I'm helping somebody. Life has different realms. Some people are fighting the realm of the first heavens, realm of the second heavens. Second heaven realm is why you start doing all those kalo-kalo. You give 10,000, we'll get 1 million. All those arrangements. That's second heaven because there are some spiritual principles there. But if you're a Christian this evening and you are here, give me one amen.
Amen.
Please tap your chest and say, I am a believer in Christ.
I am a believer in Christ.
Let me tell you what that means. It means you do not operate on these other levels. You operate in the third heaven level. In that place, only what you are in Christ matters. Did you hear what I said? Only what you are in Christ matters. What your grandfather was does not matter. What your grandfather was matters in the second heaven levels. When people say, whose child is this? Oh, in their family, nobody prospers. Whose child is this? In their family, nobody lives long. It operates on that level. Once you drop away from the level of Christ, you drop into that level. I was listening to a message the other day, and the man of God explained something very true. He said, when the serpents came to bite the people of Israel, Moses prayed and said, God, remove the serpents. What did God say? God said, I'm not removing anything. He said, but the people are dying. He said, I will give them a remedy.